We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We're back. Allegedly, the players and management had worked out an agreement with the NFL and the NFLPA as it relates to the national anthem. If you don't want to stand for the national anthem, you can stay in the locker room. If you go out on the field, in the presentation of their marketing their product, they want everybody to stand up. It obviously that was not a satisfactory position. Joining us on the line, Doug Cinceri, WWL legal analyst and host of All Things Legal. Welcome to the show, Doug.
Good morning, Noel.
So please explain to us what is going on.
In layman's terms, in layman's terms, they want to determine whether the patients are going to run the asylum or not. But in legal terms, the NFL instituted a very generous procedure for the national anthem. Basically, what they said, as you stated before, was that the players could either stay in the locker room or be respectful on the field during the national anthem. And the NFL has several powers to do that, according to the agreements in the collective bargaining agreement. First of all, the commissioner has broad powers to take any action or govern any action that for detrimental conduct on behalf of the players. And also, he has jurisdiction over game day operations. So, and also, the teams have the ability to impose reasonable club rules for the players. So they have the NFL saying, we have powers to implement this policy, and we really don't need your approval for it, NFLPA. The NFLPA is saying, all we're doing is a peaceful demonstration, and it's not detrimental to the game, so therefore it has to be collectively bargained, and that's where the dispute is. That's the crux of the dispute.
So everybody kind of, and just for the benefit of the listening audience, everyone says, well, you know, you got a First Amendment right to do this. You have a First Amendment right to do that. First Amendment rights are protections against government intrusion, right?
Right.
And the NFL is not a government intrusion.
Well, you know, I sort of get a little crazy listening to these ESPN and sports commentators lecture us, you, I, lawyers, about the First Amendment, and they have no idea what they're saying. But the bottom line is this. The NFL players do not have a First Amendment right while they're on the field. They don't. They don't have a First Amendment right to protest.
They're really like right. One level up from an invited guest.
That's exactly right. And you know, I'll tell you this. I don't know if you watch on game day, there's a guy named Gary Barbaro who used to be an all-pro. Mm-hmm. Player for Nickel State, played with the Kansas City Chiefs. He is sitting there with a clipboard, and if a player does not have his socks pulled up all the way to the bottom of his pants, he could be fined $5,000 because the NFL has the ability to legislate or dictate how the players act and perform on the field. And if they don't, they're subject to rules and fines.
Yeah, you can have a uniform of the day, and they have to adhere to the uniform.
Right, and so to say, now I'll give you a parallel, and you could appreciate this, Noel. For example, the Dallas Cowboys wanted to peacefully pay respects to the Dallas police officers who were killed in the line of duty. The NFL said, no, you can't do that. The NFL respected the Dallas Cowboys didn't like it, or Jerry Jones didn't like it, but he respected it because the commissioner has the ability to govern game day operations and those type of issues. So,
well, it gets to the point when you have 53 players on a roster, 32 teams. You do the math. You're going to have everybody that's got a different issue of the day that they want to have and memorialize, and it's all well intentioned. I get it, but you can't manage it. It becomes problematic.
What issues do you say can be protested, and what issues can't be protested? And actually, I have to give kudos to the NBA, Adam Silver. He shut that down before it even got started. and it hadn't really been an issue with the NBA. Now, the NFL national anthem policy has had detrimental effects to the NFL. Viewership is down, sponsorship is down. The surveys regarding the level of enthusiasm for the NFL from Middle America is down. And the NFL has a, the commissioner has a definite right to control the marketing of its product. And if they think that the marketing of their product is impaired by national anthem protests, the commissioner has the right to address it.
So where does this thing end? Obviously, the players, because of, I guess, a gentleman's agreement that was reached between the NFLPA and the NFL, they didn't want to go into court, and they wanted to give the NFL an opportunity to remediate this thing, because it, the policy is one thing. The enforcement of the policy is probably where there's more of a slippery slope under the collective bargaining agreement than otherwise, correct?
Yeah, and I think what the NFL did to address that is to told the players, you have an option. It's not telling the players you don't have an option. You have to stand at attention. What it is saying is if you decide not to participate in the national anthem or you have some grievance with it, stay in the locker room. So it's not like they're being requested. They're given a choice. They're not requested to do something against their will per se. They could either stay in the locker room or not. Now, here's my theory. I mean, when I was working in the NFL, I know the attorney for the NFLPA, and we do this as attorneys, Newell, as you know.
Right.
Sometimes your clients are wrong,
mm-hmm.
and they don't believe you're wrong, so you let them go to court, get run over by the train,
right.
and then they'll realize they're wrong. Now, what I would suspect that there's a certain aspect of the NFLPA is they know that there's an uninformed consensus that's well-informed, but doesn't really understand how business works, how the NFL works. They just have their little narrow view. They're saying, look, you're probably going to get run over by the arbitrator, but we're going to do it because we're going to let the arbitrator say you can't do it rather than us, and we preserve our political standing with you as an NFLPA rep. That's sort of my theory to this, but because I just don't see legally under the collective bargaining agreement that the NFLPA has any shot.
You know, and I've talked about this before, is that as employees, you have certain rights under Title VII and otherwise, but they're very limited. In most of these states where these NFL teams are in or at-will states, you enter into negotiations vis-a-vis the union representation and the collective bargaining agreement. It's a balance of interest. You give up rights, you get more rights, for other things. And when you have something like this and you're stepping out onto this field of play, you're at work. I mean, that's like being a UPS driver and saying, I have the right to put a sticker on the side of my van that advocates whatever position I want on that day. And I don't care what the UPS
right.
or FedEx folks have to say about it, because I have a right to free speech. It doesn't work that way.
And I put it in your terms. When you have lineups and inspections or official functions, and you have officers kneeling down when in the presentation of the flag, I mean, you have a right to say, as the sheriff, no, you stand up at respect. This is where you line up. This is your protocol.
If you're wearing cover, a hat, you salute. If not,
that's right.
You put your hand on your heart.
It's exactly right. Now, and this is the misconception, because I think pop culture takes certain aspects of the Constitution, applies it without the proper context. Yes, you have a First Amendment right, but not at work while you're employed.
Yeah, I mean, if you think about it and you carry it to the point of ridiculousness, I guess, for lack of a better term, if you think about collectively all the employees in this country, and when they all go to work, that they have a right to say or do whatever they want and stand up for whatever cause it may be. It could be leukemia, the Heart Foundation, this, that, or otherwise. It doesn't have to be a racial equality issue or any of those. How do you manage?
It would be a 24/7, I guess, advocacy. Advocacy at your rather than work going on. This is work. And so, again, this is the thing that people, players, these players, 90% of them are going to be out of the league in 4 years. They don't. They're not the future of the league. They're just here temporarily, and for them to be dictating the long term, I guess, future of the NFL is sort of crazy. But you know, again, the team has the right to market itself in the most favorable fashion, and it's good business never to exclude any portion of your customers, which this national anthem policy does.
Yeah, I mean, you know, look, you can walk out of the dome, or you can walk out of any NFL stadium and go to a public piece of land on the sidewalk, on the street, or the neutral ground, or whatever, before the game, after the game, yeah. And say whatever you want. Wave whatever you want. You know, have a banner. Talk about whatever it is that you want. But, you know, you're really an invited guest when you're there on the field.
And absolutely. And these players are young. And they're, I mean, they play football, but they're not educated as to life. They're just not. I mean, they're 23, 24 years old. And, I mean, it's very interesting. Eric Reed, who was all-pro caliber safety in the San Francisco 49ers, made a big deal. I'm going to kneel. Well, in the offseason, he really doesn't have any employment. He's like, you know what? I may not kneel now. I need a job. You know, and it's just a very interesting reaction, and to see what, you know, what's really going on here. But, I mean, basically, the NFL needs, you know, they have the right to control their product.
Well, look, we all went through those years of being very young, and we all went through those years of thinking that we were not dispensable. And then at some point in time, right. We mature, we wake up, and we realize, oh, wait a minute, I am dispensable. I am the center of no universe, and I just can't make these demands that are not based on reason.
Absolutely right. And so I think the NFLPA is going through this exercise to maintain its political standing with its players, even though I think they know that they have a 98% chance of losing.
Now, the timing of this, real quick, Doug, because I got to get to a break, is that once the NFL puts the rule out in advance of the season, there's like a time period, and then it's embraced, and they really, under the CBA, I think they can't say anything at that point in time. So there's like this time, there's this window of opportunity to do what they're doing, and I think time was running out before the beginning of this season. Is that correct?
Yeah. I think really what the NFL's position is, the NFLPA has no say on what we do. We can do whatever we want on these set of rules because it involves game day operations, it involves detrimental conduct. So whether you like it or not, we're going to do it, and you have nothing to say about it. And the issue is, does it fall in that bucket, or does it fall in the bucket of, you know, needing detrimental conduct to the game, and at the end, and that there's some type of collaboration as far as the rules concerned.
Absolutely. Doug Cinceri, thanks so much for joining us, WWL legal analyst and host of All Things Legal. Always appreciate your insight. Thanks for joining us.
All right, Neil. Have a great day.
Have a great week as well. We'll be right back. We want to hear from you. 260-1870 or text us at 870-870. We'll be right back. This is Newell on WWL.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.